Just breathe your name upon me.
Yare Wahe.
Yare Wahe is your name.
Just breathe your name.
Just breathe your name upon me.
Just breathe your
name upon me.
Breathe.
Just breathe your name upon me. Breathe.
Your name,
Wahe.
Just breathe your name.
Just breathe your name upon me.
Just breathe
your name upon me. Breathe.
Somebody hark that the breath of the Almighty come upon you this evening.
Just breathe your name upon me. Just breathe your name upon me. Oh, say, just breathe your name upon me. Just breathe your name upon me. Breathe. Oh, just breathe.
Just breathe your name upon me.
Your name, my
head. Your name, my head.
Just breathe. Just breathe your name upon me.
Church, can just pray in the Holy Ghost for the next 2 minutes. Shala Brenda Sahaya. Father, breathe your name upon me this evening. Bring me to an encounter with your spirit. Breathe your fresh bread upon me. Shala Brenda Sela Bahaya. Mambro Sila Bahaya. Lakapandro Shkola Bahaya. Kelebaranda Shikoro Bahaya. Melekendo Brokoti Shala Bahande Barahaya. Mamroti sokotola baha, mantela bahaya, rindoroko bahaya, labrena mashaki tela bahaya, janda barakatile perakata bahaya, jikata la bahenta legebaranda safila, mosokita labranda shegela bahaya, rabahondia, imroda shkila baranta kapha, Holy Ghost, breathe upon me afresh tonight, shakatela. Mantoro kopokota la pera shalapaya rindurabaha randa bagada bahadi kolombre gidishaha mento kolaba sefala mantikapa kaidura kapadi sosofela sikapakata la kapadi kakapai brekata. Open my eyes, haparate lama, breathe your fresh breath upon me, karaba, fresh life in my spirit. Fresh life in my spirit. Fresh life in my spirit. Manku rabakatila barata. Shekatalama. Mosolo bakatalaba. Mandedegede bakata. Imrodisa pahaya. Pray better, pray better. 1 more minute. Shakatalaba. Embreketelabaya. Immerse yourself. Parakatelibaha. Shakatalaba. Ndebrodishkalabahaya. Maso katalaba. Dikuntobaha. Shegede gubaha, labadin rakaha, shebede ketelika pada, hatelia, atelia, akatelia, hambredina no sila pakum ragadela fahaya. Oh, the fresh bread of the Almighty. There's a spirit in man. There's a spirit in man. Shalabahanda labahaya. And the fresh bread of the Almighty. Give him understanding. Shabakataya. Rinkorobo godo bragadish telebahandiata. Arateketa lefendi brakatela. Rendeketuka pradebalamanda gadabadabaya. For somebody tonight, today is your day of encounter. Shadakadabadabadabalaba. Aikumana kasilia gebaha. Maradiso tola bahaya, brima kura da baha, jindo roboko to bilahaya,
what I want to know your glory. I want to offer the sacrifice of praise and fill this temple, Lord, with your spirit once again. Oh Lord, I want to know your glory. I want to offer the sacrifice of praise
and fill this temple, Lord, with your spirit once again.
Fill this temple,
fill this temple, Lord, with your spirit once again.
Fill this temple, Lord,
fill this temple, Lord, with your spirit once again.
Father, we give you the praise and the glory this evening. We ask that the Holy Spirit of the living God, you will fill this place with your spirit. Breathe your fresh breath upon everyone here tonight. Bring us into an encounter with your spirit one more time. Cause there to be a transformation and encounter in our lives in the name of Jesus. Breathe your fresh breath upon us. Cause the spirit of truth to be evident in our midst. Giver of life, give us life. Giver of joy, give us joy. Giver of light, give us light. Let your presence be evident and manifest in our midst once again. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Good evening, everybody. Welcome somebody to your right. Welcome somebody to your left. Father, welcome to church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to church. Welcome to church. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. Galatians 5, verse 22 to 23. We continue on this series, The Garden of the Spirit, that is coming from the backdrop of the ministry of the Holy Spirit have been treating since the beginning of this year. Hallelujah. Nobody can complain to not know how the Holy Spirit operates and how it works. Right from January, is that right? No, from February, we've been teaching. So that's 5 months of teaching on the Holy Spirit, and we are not done. 5 months of teaching on the Holy Spirit. Because you see, like I told you at the beginning of the year, number one, the Holy Spirit is the catalyst for the overflow. The Holy Spirit is the catalyst for the overflow. He's the one that is responsible to bring us into all that God has ordained us for us this year. And like I told you, that if you are to get the best that He has for you, you must learn to work with the Holy Spirit. You must learn to work with Him. So, I don't believe there should be any time that you are confused about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, that the teachings over the course of 5 months, you will not be able to lay hold of them. They are all available for us to partake of and to get blessed with. So, we move on today on the topic, patience. Patience. The garden of the Spirit. So, we are talking about patience. We have looked at, oh, we are looking at the fruit of the Spirit, and I started on the note that every of the fruit of the Spirit as mentioned, which is 9, is based upon one singular one there. So when the Bible says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, it was not a mistake. because every of the other ones as listed in that verse is premised on love. It's premised on love. So you cannot say you have love and all the other ones will not flow easily in your life. So when you have love, it is easy for every of these other fruits of the Spirit as listed there to show forth. So love is the foundation of every of these gifts. So I'll be reading Galatians chapter 5 from verse 22. I'll be reading in the RAD version. It says, But the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within you is divine love in all its varied expressions. Joy that overflows. Peace that subdues. Patience that endures. Kindness in action. A life full of virtue. Faith that prevails. Gentleness of heart. And strength of spirit. Never set the law above these qualities, for they are meant to be limitless. So, this is that same scripture in the RAD version. It gives us a much more broader overview of it. So today, we are zooming in into patience. Like I said to us, that every of these characteristics are meant to show forth in our lives and grow as fruits. They are meant to show forth in our lives and grow as fruits. So you can be on a particular level of these fruits, or you may not have it at all at a particular point in time in your life, but what is expected as a believer is that you will grow consistently as you walk with God, that these fruits begin to manifest and show forth in your life. So as we have talked about love, I believe and I'm strongly trusting God that all of us here are already growing in love. The way we are showing love, walking in love with our neighbors, is already growing. I'm trusting God that the way that our life is being joyful, not being knocked to and fro by the vicissitudes of life, we are not easily tossed to and fro again. We are firmly rooted by the joy of the Lord that is on the inside of us. I'm believing that that is our cause. I'm believing that for some of us who have had stormy issues around our life, in our life, like we treated last week Sunday, I am believing that we are beginning to have much more sense of peace on the inside of us and around us. You see, the more you allow all of these things to grow in your life, the more you are having a stable Christian growth. You are having a stable walk with God. That is the essence of it. That at the end of the day, when they look at your life, we can say indeed the Holy Spirit is at work within you, because we can see all of these qualities in your life. So today we are looking at patience. The word patience in this scripture, if you look at it in other versions, you see in some versions, he calls it long-suffering. Long-suffering. What does long-suffering mean? Long-suffering means to suffer long. What does long-suffering means? To suffer long. That's just the meaning in simple terms. Mean that there are times when you would have to endure something for a long time. And at the point where it seems as though you are at the breaking point, you may need to still go a little more further. Suffer long, or long suffering. And the other word used, if you check other versions, is the word forbearance. Forbearance. So the word forbearance is just from the word forbear, to forbear something. What does it mean to forbear? The word for means to do something ahead, and then to bear means so. It means for you to bear something ahead, or it means to prepare yourself to bear something whenever it shows up. That means as somebody who is going to the gym and is pushing weights at different points in time, it's not because he's hoping to fight one day. But what you are doing is that you are putting yourself through a rigorous training, should in case one day will come, you will need that strength to be able to overcome something. So it's not like there is readily something that you need to overcome as it were right now, but that one day that strength will be necessary for you to overcome a particular thing. So you keep going to the gym to prepare yourself for that day.
to explain long suffering, there's a way that athletes do train themselves, which is that there are plenty ways of training, but I'll pick out two particular ones, which is that they will tie something to themselves. They can pick a tire, especially the one that trailer uses. They will tie it around their waist or some to their shoulders, and then they will begin to run with it. What are they doing? They are building their ability to endure pain. When you see a boxer in the ring, and when they are training, you see them punching everything. That's why they call them heavyweight champions. It's not because they can really lift everything, but because they have the ability to endure pain to a certain extent, that now they are now become one with the punching bag. So the athletes, when they run, they would, at that point when they are trying to put those things to run, they are not moving at their maximum speed. They can be feeling pain, but they won't stop. What are they doing? They are building endurance and tolerance towards that subject. The moment that weight is pulled off and you tell them to run the same way again, they will run like a bullet. The reason is because they are already accustomed to running with weight, that the day the weight is not there, they can move faster. So, what are they doing? They are bearing with the pain of that weight. Secondly, there's a way they also train, which is that, especially for people like Usain Bolt and who run long distance race. How many of us have ever ran like a marathon before? Have you done a marathon? Okay. Very few hands here. You've run 4x400. Okay, more hands. How sweet was it? Especially the marathon. After a while, you wish you can just stop at the point and say, oh, me, sorry. Now, for the people who run this race for a living, like was said of Usain Bolt, Usain Bolt prepares 4 years ahead of Olympics. Meaning that whatever race he's trying to run in 4 years' time, he begins to run it 4 years ahead. So, what is he doing? He's building tolerance. When he starts initially, he does not necessarily beat the time, but he's getting his body used to running in a certain way. After he has done that over and over again, okay, how many of us have been to the gym here before? You've tried to carry weights before and all of that. Some of you are not bold. Lift up your hands. You have tried to carry weights before. Let me see your hands. Okay. How many of us have done sit up here before? How many of us have done early morning jogging here before? Good. Some of you have been trying to lose weight or to keep fit fine. How many of you, after you did it for the first maybe 1, 2, 3 days, your body gave you feedback? Now, do you know why your body gave you feedback? It was because your body was not used to doing that. But for those who continued, because I know not all of you continued, for those who continued, you will find out that after a while, those things that used to cause you pain, as you continue doing it, the pain begins to reduce as you continue. The pain you feel after doing for the first week is not the same level of pain you feel after the second week, then the third week, then the fourth week. After a while, it becomes a norm for your body because your body has adjusted to that kind of pain threshold. Same for those who go to the gym to carry weight. Maybe they start with lifting 20 kg. So they keep doing that. They come out from the gym and then, apart Jabba or Jesu, they can't lift the hand up again. The hand is so heavy. They do that for like 1 month. After a while, their body adjusts to lifting that 20 kg. I'm going somewhere. Adjust to 20 kg and then After a while, 20 kg looks like it is simple. So the gym instructor will come and then say, you know what, now that you have done 20 kg, it's now time for you to push harder. Now your muscles have already accustomed to living such weight. Now they put extra 5 kg for you to start lifting 25 kg. When you start lifting the 25 kg, as though they brought back the pain with extra again, you start feeling the pain again. The reason is because the weight has become much more heavier than it used to be. After a while, if you continue pushing that 25 kg, after a while, your body gets used to it again. What am I going? Is that what is happening to you? Is that your body is beginning to be able to forbear the pain. You cannot bear the pain much more than it used to be before. Your mind is now much more prepared to live that much more pain, and then your muscles have become accustomed to lifting such pain. So that is forbearance or long suffering in another slightly different dimension. So how do we define patience? I have two definitions here. Says patience is the ability to endure suffering or provocation without complaint. I know, why did I give you definition first? But let me say it again. Patience is the ability to endure suffering or provocation without complaint. I know some of you already have an idea when we talk about this concept of patience. You believe that patience is for you to just wait for a long time. Is that not it? You say, this guy has patience. So that means that the guy can wait. Maybe you went to the bank to go and withdraw money. And then, three people now came and begged you. And said, please let me withdraw a little. And then you now stay. Some of the back, one of the guys said, you this boy, you have patience. So. Because you have equated patience with waiting. But you see, patience is not only about the period of time that you waited. Patience is about what happens to you during your period of waiting. Because some people just say, if I can wait long enough, if I can be patient enough, I will be rich. If I can be patient enough, things will change. But waiting for a long time is not equated to being patient. Yes, the same time has passed, but what happened to you in the time of waiting is when patience has truly done its work. So you can be patient in quotes and nothing happens to you at the end of the day and you think God has failed you. So looking at the definition, say what? Is the ability to endure suffering or provocation without complaint. Number two, patience or long suffering is the ability to endure difficult circumstances and the shortcomings of others without becoming angry or upset. Somebody say amen. I'll be like, Pastor, what are you saying? I'll say it again. Patience or long suffering is the ability to endure difficult circumstances and the shortcomings of others without becoming angry or upset. So some of us say, we come to the room and says, you see that my roommate, I've been patient with her, now I can't be patient again. The question is, in all of those times you said you have been patient, what happened to you? What really happened? What did you learn? What did you do? Some of you, in time of being patient, you too, you have shattered your own back. And you are saying that, I've been patient with this my roommate for the past 3 months. Whereas, whenever she give you fire, you too, you want to return with what? Fire. But if they ask, you say, I've been patient with her. Have you been patient, really? You have only let the period of time pass. The work of patience have not really been done. That is why this is a work of the Holy Spirit, that you must allow Him to do it in your life. Some of us, some things happen to us, and then the way we take those things, we always associate tough times with the devil. But let me tell you today, as we'll be seeing as we go on, not everything around you is the work of the enemy. Some things are just a process that you are going through in certain seasons of life. Some people may be going through delay, and I think it's the work of the enemy. Whereas God is keeping you to wait, preparing you for a particular season of life to come. So not everything happening in your life is a work of the enemy. Sometimes some doors will not open to you because God wants you to grow in a particular level of wisdom through a particular period of time, so that when you appear before a particular set of people, you'll be able to display a particular set of skills. You didn't get it. I know I said it too fast. Go back and listen to the message to get back again. I didn't write it in my notes. But let me tell you, some things will have to happen in your life for you to be able to produce some particular set of results. The difference between that time and the time of manifestation or the time of what is going to come out of your life is that time of patience. Patience is always to produce a certain result in the life of people. Patience is not just to make you wait. I want this to be drilled into you. Because some of you have said you are having patience, whereas the word patience is not really happening inside of you. Patience must do something to you. It must do something to you. So the work of the Holy Spirit is that it will help you to become more patient. It's a part of you patient and being and waiting. But while you're waiting, what is going on inside of you? The work of the Holy Spirit also in this season of life is to guide and to guard you. We're talking about patience as the work of the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit in this season of life is to guide and to guard you. Meaning that there are times when you are about to go somewhere or do something. He will guide you on how to do that thing to become profitable or to turn out the way it's supposed to be. And there are sometimes you want to do something, the Holy Spirit will not guide you. He will guard you from doing something in the work of patience. Now, it will guide you from wrong decisions, from wrong relationships, from wrong reactions at different points in time. So, there are some certain things that you must develop patience in. Let's get into some work now. There are some certain things you must develop patience in. Number one, you must develop patience in judgment. What's number one? What's number one? In judgment. You must develop patience in judgment. Genesis chapter 38 and verse 15. Genesis 38 verse 15. We are reading through, we read verse 15 to 18, then we read 24 to 26. Genesis 38 verse 15. Are you there? Open your Bibles together with me. If you have your Bible. If me that can be fast, please put it on the screen so everyone can follow together. Genesis 38, 15 to 18. It's a story about a man called Judah, one of the sons of Jacob, 12 tribes of Israel. It's not Judah, my son. It's Judah in the Bible. It says, from verse 15, I'm just taking some part because we can't read all the whole context. I will explain. It says, when Judah saw her, he thought she was a harlot because she had covered her face. Then he turned to her by the way and said, please, let me come into you. For he did not know that she was his daughter-in-law. So she said, what will you give me that you may come into me? And he said, I will send a young goat from the flock. So she said, will you give me a pledge till you send it? Verse 18. Then he said, what pledge will I give you? So she said, your signet cord and your staff that is in your hand. Then he gave them to her and went into her, and she conceived by him. Let's pause. This is the story of Judah. He gave birth to three sons. The son of the first wife got married to a particular lady. And then before she could give birth or before she could conceive, she died. As the law was in the city of emanation of Israel, is that once that happened, the duty of the father is that he will take the son, the second son, and give it to the lady. Oh, sorry, give her to the lady, so that she will get pregnant and then she will give it to a child, so that they will preserve the name of the firstborn. So what happened here is that after they gave her the firstborn died, married legally. Then the second born gave to the girl again, the guy too died. So I think, is there a fourth born? Okay. So the third born was not yet of age. They say, wait. When he grew up, he will become your husband. So the lady went and waited patiently. 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. We don't have how many years. But it got a certain time. The guy was of age. Then the girl came and checked and said, these people, they are trying to play conny-conny with me. So the girl went back. So one day was one day. Judah traveled. His own wife too now died. So one day he traveled. Then he saw this lady sitting somewhere. She dressed like an harlot. Say, okay, let me give you money. Let me come into you. Prostitution in the Bible. So he went into her. He said, what will you give me? Say, give me goats. Give me sheep. Give me your... He said, I didn't come with anything. He said, oh, so what can I give me? He said, okay, take my signet ring. In those days, a man has a signet ring to stamp, to say, I am the one that did so. He said, take my signet ring, take my staff. When I come back, I will send the goat and I will collect my stuff. So that's the first part of the story. Now, look at the second part of the story. Verse 24 of that same chapter. It says, and it came to pass about 3 months after that Judah was told, saying, Tamar, your daughter-in-law, has played the harlot. Furthermore, she is with child by harlotry. So Judah said, bring her out, let her be burned. When she was brought out, she went to her father-in-law, saying, by the man to whom this belong, I am with child. And she said, please determine whose this are, the signet and the cord and staff. So Judah acknowledged him and said, she has been more righteous than I, because I did not give her to Shelah my son. And he never knew her again. Now, so what happened? After he entered, he went into her. He didn't know that it was his daughter-in-law that he went to go and meet. Some of you have not even read the story in the Bible. You are shaking your head like this. He said, read your Bible, pray every day. You will not read your Bible. Now, you don't even know this story is inside the Bible. Eh? So he gave the daughter, he saw that, my daughter, the girl got pregnant. He said, God, I've caught you today. So he said, people now say, see, your daughter-in-law has gotten pregnant for somebody else. So, say, bring her outside. Let us burn her. Because that's the consequences in those days. They find out that you are going to put a prostitution like this, they will just burn you. He went to a prostitute, they should not burn him. But they find out that the daughter-in-law has got to do prostitution. Who should they burn? They should burn her. Say, bring her out, let us burn her. And then the man said, before you burn me, I know who did it. Say, whoever owns this signet ring and this staff is not a child. Akpati Jabo. Says, now I know that this person is much more holier than I am. What are we trying to bring out from here? Is that, you see, sometimes we enter into judgments too fast about people. We don't know the issue of the story of their life. But you just enter into judgment immediately. You say, see her, she's now pregnant. And you may have never known that that person was a victim of rape. So you see, patience will first do an internal work on the inside of you, that you can't be quick to enter into judgment. You see, the judgment that Judah first made was that they should quickly go and burn the lady. There are times when you would see, let me advise you, when people bring issues to you, don't be quick to bring judgment on one person without hearing the other side of the story. I have said this in some weeks back. I think in this Holy Spirit series too. Join peace, Abby. Don't be too quick to just say, this one is the culprit. No. Pay attention to hear what is the two sets of the story. Patience requires that you will not go into judgment too fast. Sometimes you see some people's life turn out in a certain way, and then you are judging them, you are blaming them. You don't know, maybe that person has an absentee father. That person has a father that did not love her, and then she just went around looking for love until she fell into the wrong hands. You don't know. But then you just open your mouth and begin to judge the person. There must be patience in understanding people. But the principle of the work that we do, see, we hear a lot of things that a lot of people go through. And sometimes you will sit there and say, you don't just judge people too fast. Sometimes you have to just pay attention and listen to them. You see, because if you go into judgment too fast, you will not even be able to help those people. Some of us are only a product of the kind of family that we came out from. If some of us were in some situations that some people went through, you would even do worse. You must not be too quick to enter into judgment. So that's one of the first work of patience. What must you do to develop? What must you develop patience in? You must develop patience in judgment. In judgment. Number two, what must you develop patience in? In speaking. In speaking. James chapter 3 and verse 2. James chapter 3 and verse 2. We're reading to verse 6. It says, "For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put beads in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at sheep. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles." And verse 6. "And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by hell." We must develop patience in speaking. We must develop patience in speaking. Look at what the scripture verse is saying here. That the tongue can set a whole forest on fire. Some of you, the reason why you broke up with your last best friend was because of one friend that set all of you guys together. Am I telling the truth? You are not answering. The reason some people don't like you again is your hostess, because somebody said something about you. See how this one is laughing. It affects you, Abby. Sometimes we don't know what our speech does. What we say about people. See, the tongue can set a whole forest on fire. See, it's just like a match. You set a fire on just only one branch, and before you know it, the whole tree is burned down. It starts burning other trees. How many of us have seen wildfires before? Wildfire. At least on TV. You know, wildfire don't start because all the whole tree starts burning at once. Just one fire that set on a tree that did not quickly detect. Sometimes it takes 6 months to 1 year to kill wildfire. That means they will use helicopter with treated water to be flying. They will use drones to be flying tanks of water to be quenching a forest of fire. That's the same way it is when some of us go and we say things uncontrollably just because in a moment of anger you wanted to say something and then just open your mouth and bow, you have set fire on somebody's life. You were angry. Yes, we know. But can you learn to control your speech? Have patience in speaking. Some of you, if you don't learn to control it, now when you get to marriage, you will know that it is very, very good to keep quiet. You are saying yes. Have you been married before? You will tell me now. Well, she may know. She may know. She may have seen somebody in the house or somebody in their compound. There are people who can't control their lips. Any small issue like this, as though they will just burst open. See, the tongue can set a whole forest on fire. Some of us, we have used our tongue to cancel our testimonies. You have been praying, "Lord, send me money, send me money, send me money. Lord, provide for me." One day, just wake up and only catch you and say, "Olua, she be calling my pamiku by." And the angel is coming like, "She be paya kuni abi kagbonjewa." Which one do you want? We know you have been praying for a long time, but have some patience. Have patience. No matter how hungry you are, if God wants to send the food from heaven, there is still a meal that we used to do it. The children of Israel will always have to wait till the following morning for them to find manna on the ground. If you go out in the night to go and look for manna, you will not find anyone there, except one that has fought. Our mouth is a tool. You must learn to cultivate your mouth, to tame it, so that you are not too quick to be saying hurtful words, to damage people with your tongue. Patience is a powerful virtue. I mean that sometimes when you are angry, you feel like just bursting open. But in those moments, that is when patience will truly know if you have patience or not. Sometimes you are talking about one issue happen like that. At the time my face changed, like, if I say, I'll just carry myself and my kaya and go and enter another room and go and sit down there until my mind will come down. Will now come and say, okay, sit down, let's talk. But if I talk at that moment, I can say what I am not supposed to say. And there are sometimes you say some things, not intentionally, but they are hurtful. So you must learn to control your speakings at different points in time. Some of us, a little issue like this, and then we are not too patient to even let the Holy Spirit do his work, do the process. You are saying, God, I am trusting for something, I'm trusting for something. And then, just 1 week after prayer, God has not answered. You have already broken down. You have waited there saying nonsense. I was watching one of the reels by Pastor Emmanuel Iren. And then he shared that there was this particular lady that came to his office. I said, Pastor, I just want to tell you, I've been praying to God, but I know that God too can hear you. Can you please help me ask God if I offended him? You don't even know the full story yet. You will still laugh better. Can you help me ask God if I offended him? Say, okay, what happened? I've been praying to God for a job for a while now, and God has not answered my prayers. But me and my friends that we are praying together, God has answered them and has given them a job. Tell God to tell me what I did wrong to him. Say, okay, calm down. When did you graduate? Say, 3 months ago. She finished NYSC 3 months ago, and she came 3 months later to pastor. So I said, ask God, what did I do wrong to him? You need to ask some people. How many years they waited? Some 1 year, some 6 months. For me, it was from May, June till November. I resumed work in December. I think it's December 16 or December 14 or thereabouts. Then I resumed work. 3 months. That's how some people are so impatient. So impatient. So she was saying, tell God to tell me what I did wrong to him. 3 months of waiting. You must learn to control your speakings so that you are not canceling out the things that you ought to do. What the Holy Spirit will teach is that in the process of your waiting, he will teach you how to wait correctly and how to wait indeed. Some of us are too much in the haste. Too much in the haste to want to make a statement of our arrival. Number three. You must develop patience in manifestations. Okay, put it this way. You must develop patience in expectations and manifestations. In your expectations and manifestations. You must not. Everything in life takes a process. Everything in life is in process. There are some things that won't just spring up and happen at once. Some things will literally take years for them to happen in your life. Look around this city today, especially this Ondaji area. Why do you think that quite a number of guys are going into flood as it is today? And why do you think a lot of young ladies are losing their self on the lapse of immorality? It's because some of them are not willing to wait for the time and season of their life when those things are supposed to come naturally. I can't remember where I was sharing this, but I was telling them that, see, the things that a while ago I could not afford, it's just a matter of time you will be able to afford those things. Some things we just take time and process. What are those guys trying to do? They are trying to pull their future into their present. So they will go and commit fraud just so that they can ride a car now to Buga to a girl now that they will not end up marrying now. I know some of you go to market to buy fine clothes to impress a guy that you don't even know if he loves you or not. Some of you are now looking away like, Pastor, it's not me, it's not me, it's not. But we know. Now, even though you are not thinking about him, but you are thinking about how you look so that somebody will, they can spot you in the crowd. Let's read a particular scripture. 2 Samuel 18. Expectation and manifestation. 2 Samuel 18. This is a very, very solid story in the Bible. So now, Absalom in his lifetime, 2 Samuel 18 and verse 18. Now, Absalom in his lifetime had taken and set up a pillar for himself, which is in the king's valley. For he said, I have no son to keep my name in remembrance. He called the pillar after his own name, and to this day is called Absalom's monument. Then Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, said, let me run now and take the news to the king, how the Lord has avenged him on his enemies. And Joab said to him, you shall not take the news this day, for you shall take the news another day. But today you shall take no news, because the king's son is dead. Then Joab said to the Cushites, go, tell the king what you have seen. So the Cushite bowed himself to Joab and ran. And Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, said again to Joab, but whatever happens, please let me also run after the Cushites. So Joab said, why will you run, my son, since you have no news ready? Say, but whatever happens, he said, let me run. So he said to him, run. Then Ahimaaz ran by the way of the plain and outran the Cushites. The king said, okay, now let's go to verse 29. The king said, is the young man Absalom safe? Ahimaaz answered, when Joab sent the king's servant and me your servant, I saw a great tumult, but I did not know what it was about. And the king said, turn aside and stand here. So he turned aside and stood still. Then the Cushites came, and the Cushites said, there is good news, my lord the king, for the Lord has avenged you this day of all those who rose against you. Look at the story. See, let me tell you, being fast does not mean you are right. Some people are going on high speed in the wrong direction. Some people are going on high speed without the message. This was the story of the Cushites. Solomon pursued Absalom pursued his father out of the palace. David was in exile. So they went and then they conquered Absalom. Then they finally killed Absalom. In battle, that one said, my lord the king, he was not there in the battle. He does not know what has happened. Say, my lord the king, let me run and give the king a message. God said, don't run, don't go. You don't have any news to go and share. He told another person, you go and go and deliver the message of what you have sent to the king. Say, my lord the king, please now, let me run after him. That one has already gone. Say, please, let me run after him. Said, you don't have any. Say, just please, let me go. The person without a message outran the person with a message. Did you get me? The person without a message outran the person with a message. There are some people, you will see them running with speed in life, yet they are heading in the wrong direction. They will get to the point where they are supposed to deliver and they will have nothing to say. May that not be your story in the name of Jesus. May you not get to the point where you are supposed to manifest and nothing will come out of you. It will not be your story in the name of Jesus. So you will see this guy running with speed and you'll be like, this guy is a very fast rider. This guy graduated at 19 years old. This guy, look at him, he quickly got a job. Look at this guy at 17 years old, at 20 years old. They are already calling to minister at different places. And you are looking at yourself and you are saying, God, show for him back by running. But you see, you must know that it's not every message that you have to deliver. God has the one customized for you. That guy wanted to manifest too early. He just wanted to show before the king and say, King, I have a message. He just wanted to tell the king the news, whereas he doesn't have anything to say. That's just some people want to be on a stage to start manifesting, whereas God has not given them the voice or the message to speak to a particular generation. Yet they want to show up on TV. For some, God has not given the required anointing, the required grace for you to do what you wanted to do. But you are trying to put yourself on social media so everybody can see that you have arrived. And when somebody comes and brings a problem to you, you find out that you have no solution whatsoever to that person's problem. Patience will teach you that you should wait until the day of your appearing. The Bible said about John the Baptist that John the Baptist was in the wilderness until the day of his showing to Israel. What was the Bible trying to tell us there? That see, not every time is your own time. Not every time is your time. Not every time is your time. There are some people who their own will start coming in the mid-time of life. In their 40s, that's when they will start rising to prominence. There are some people who will come into it early in their life. That's their own time of coming out. But you must not compare your own race with somebody else's race. In fact, don't try to run a race that is meant for somebody else. For some people, it is copycat. You saw somebody doing something and the person is doing it well, and you think that is a reason for you to get into that same thing and do it. I'm telling you, you may be making the biggest mistake of your life. Because when that guy came and he stood before the king, how can you stand before the king and you have no message to deliver to the king? Do you think the king will give another option again, another chance to stand before him? So he stood before the king and he looked like a nuisance. So tell me what happened. Is there a news for me? Say, my lord the king, you see, I just saw them. People were fighting. They were doing pa, 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 pa. They were fighting. But I don't know what happened at the end of the day. So why were you running? If you were there and you were judging the two people, you would think that the one that came second was the slower one. You would think it's the person that started manifesting himself at 35, at 45. You would think it was because he was slow in life. No. That says that God will take it through a process to prepare you. Because you see, sometimes the longer the food stays on fire, the sweeter it gets. Sometimes. If you use the timeline of noodles to judge the timeline of beans, you know you'd have missed it. Didn't get it. Noodles will arrive on time. In fact, they give it a name. Instant. You don't even have 5 minutes. But when it comes to beans, you will take your time. It will get salt. You can eat noodles and in 2 hours you're already hungry, but if you eat beans,
You get it back. You know, right?
What am I trying to bring out from here is that you cannot use timeline as a judge of who is doing it right and who is doing wrong. That somebody arrived there on time doesn't mean that is his journey or destination. Patience is a powerful virtue. And God will have to intentionally take some people through that process because he has seen your heart and he knows that you are in such a hurry to arrive because you have seen some models in future. You have seen them opening the door for that man of God and then he's coming out of the Jeep and then he's like, the Lord bless you, the Lord bless you. And then you're like, one day. And then you say, Lord, this is me. And God looks at your heart and he knows that, you want them to open it for you. So God will keep you there for a long time until that thing dies in your heart. Until it dies in your heart. What is the God on your heart that is making you in a haste? That's making you get into a hurry for prominence, hurry for influence, hurry for popularity. Whereas you don't even carry substance to run with. So some of you can appear before the king and you have nothing to offer. And let me tell you the way kings operate. Kings operate in such a way that if you mess up once before them, you may never see their face again. Isaiah 60, and Gentiles shall come to where? to your light. And then this stuff, say, and kings to the brightness of your rising. It is the brightness of your rising that keeps the kings. So you now finally show up before the king, and then as a tailor, the zipper now broke because you are trying to save money. You know that's the last time you'll be sorry for that person. That's the last time. So patience will say that you will go through process. Invest adequate time until what you are cooking is ready, and you know that this thing can be served to kings. Not every contract you will take in a bit to just prove that you have arrived. The Lord is helping somebody here today. Somebody that has been in a rush. You have been in a rush. You are in such a hurry to get to a particular place in your life, for people to get to know you. And God is saying, slow down, pull the brakes. Don't go faster than God. Don't go faster than God. Patience. How can you be running so fast without a message? Look at the guys. The Bible talks about the seven sons of Sceva. They looked at Peter and John. They said, this one casting out demons. They looked at Paul, casting out demons. What is the secret? Jesus. Those ones have been working with Jesus for a very long number of years. They had gotten a requisite anointing that made demons respect them. So they say, what? In the name of Jesus Christ that Paul calls, get out. Now it says, the demon says, hey guys, wait till I'm coming. He went to the door. He locked the door. He used key. Say it again. Say, in the name of Jesus. He said, hey, yeah. 82 sons. And then, one person beat seven people. One. Why? They thought that it was just by the name Jesus. That was the same thing that about that Cushite. He thought that it was just by running that you divide a message. He doesn't know that you must carry a message. Must carry a message. You must understand that your seasons, your own season will come. Your role is to prepare adequately for that Kairos moment. You must understand that your own season will come. Your role is to prepare for that Kairos moment. It may not just be more than once, and that once is the reason why you will be lifted. Joseph, for 13 years of his life, was going through different issues in life. The more he tried to rise, the deeper he was going. The more he tried to rise, the deeper he was going. And God was taking him to the place of the dungeon for 13 years, hiding him for the day that one day he will appear before Pharaoh. God was using every time he got into different people's house. He got to the house of Potiphar. He was taught prosperity. He was taught how to manage resources, how to increase resources. He got into the prison. He was taught how to interpret dreams. His dream interpretation got sharpened because God knows that these two tools will be the thing that Pharaoh will need on the day that he appears before Pharaoh. Guess what? When he appeared before Pharaoh, what was the first problem that he brought? Interpret a dream. What was the second problem? Now that famine is coming, help us and teach us how to multiply it. The two things that he was taught in his time of disappearance was what he needed for the day of his appearing. So we need to go and hide yourself one more time and stay there in patience. Let God teach you what he needs to teach you. Don't rush out of your seasons. Patience. Let him do his work. Patience. Whatever he's teaching is not a waste. Whatever you have gone through is not a waste. Patience. One day it will show. Patience. Some people have aborted their destinies due to lack of patience. Why must you have patience? I doubt I can finish this curriculum tonight, but I will run. Why patience? Number one, Second Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. This last one is a strong counsel to somebody here today. And he's saying, I should tell you that you should not run without a message. He said, you should not run without a message. Jesus told the disciples, he said to them, so now I'm going. I believe you know that now is the time for you to take over. But he said this. He said, do not go anywhere. Tarry ye in Jerusalem until you are endued with power. I know that you have cast out demons before. I know you have healed the sick before. They did all those things Jesus Christ was around you. So there's a tendency for them to think that now that you have gone, we are ready for the assignment. You have quickly left the seat for us. But I said, see, let me not deceive you. Don't go out there and make a mess of your destiny. Say, study ye there in Jerusalem until you are endued with power. Be patient enough for the Holy Ghost to mount upon you before you go out. Don't just run ahead without receiving the power. This was somebody here today. I don't know what pressure you are under at this season for you to deliver. I don't know what pressure you are under for you to show. I'm describing somebody now. You are trying to show people what stuff you are made of, to tell them that you have arrived. And God is asking me to tell you today, pull the brakes and preserve your name. Pull the brakes and preserve your name. I'm bringing this prophetic word to somebody today. Pull the brakes and preserve your name. Don't be too much in the haste. Don't be too much in the haste. Don't be too much in the haste. Don't be too much in the haste.
I will run to you till your words are true.
Keep playing. You don't know my key.
Not by power, but by the Spirit of God. And I will run the race till I see your face. Oh, let me live in the glory of your grace. And I will run to you till your words are true. Not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of God. And I will run the race till I see your face. Oh, let me live in the glory of your grace.
You need to pull the brakes. Can you just pray the moment? I will close here for tonight. I will continue next week. Father, I receive grace to wait upon you. I receive grace for patience in this season of my life. Is somebody praying here this evening? And I will run to you, O God. I will run to you. I will run to you, O God, Lord. I have found out I have been under too much pressure to deliver, to show who I am not, to show what you have not made me to be. But Lord, I put myself under subjection to your Spirit, Lord, today. I receive grace for patience. Some of you have been blaming God and saying, God, I have been praying for a long while now and you have not answered me. Lord, what is the problem? You started having grudges against God, and God is saying, see, there's a time for me. There's a season for me to do what I need to do in your life. Don't let it show ahead of time. I heard the word you speak for somebody now. And what to marry or go and leo. Those who can see your stars, they know. They can show up. They saw the stars of Jesus Christ. They tried to kill him. They tried to kill him. God took John the Baptist of the wilderness. Until the day of his appearing, somebody pray, Lord,
grant me grace of patience. Are people praying here today? Are people praying here today? Shala brenda mahanda la bada yagadaba. Rondo marabunda bragadim rona masaya. Hem rodo logoto sokoto libra namana manamana. Amre dekete le bada 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 ba. Marakata shakata lebra namana manama. Lord, kill that tenderness in me. Kill that urge in me. Kill that desire in me. To try to show what I am not. Lord, take it away. Some of you are trying to use material things to achieve status. And God says you are wasting away resources just because of to prove who you are not. Lord, let this thing die in me. Let it die in me today. Grant me patience, oh God. Shakata la bada baneketa. Antokro kotolokopa. Paratele melekapa. Amro do soleya. Randa mamasi kotobahaya. Shalabana malama. Shalamano londo robolobo shanda la baya da la bada baya. Is somebody praying here today? Talk to God, talk to God, talk to God. Talk to God, talk to God. Some of you are getting unnecessary visibility for the stage of your life presently. And God is saying some of you need to shut down. Shalabranda balabaha. Shekoroda babahaya. Lord, I receive grace for patience. For some of you, it's a character deformity. You get angry too much in a hurry. And God is saying, ask for grace. Ask for grace to slow down. Some of you speak here too rashly. You speak too rashly. And God says, receive grace for patience. Some of you, you are too judgmental. You are too judgmental. And God is saying, see, you need to shut down that thought. That speaking, you need to shut it down. Shele ketoba, branta kapadeyata, karito kote balaba, perete kete kapaya. God brought this word for you today. Sakumbre kete leke parakota, breme kete likapa, ambro tokotolia shabaha, menesite ekando barakata.
To you. Still your words are true, not by power, not by power, but by the Spirit of God, and I will run the race till I see your face. Oh, let me live the glory of your grace. And I will run to you.
In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. I feel like sharing that some of you need to go and get this book. Finishing strong. Finishing strong. There are people who at the beginning phase of their life look like it. They started out with so much zeal, strength, and fervor. They look like they were the one that were going to appear. And after a while, the world heard nothing of them. There were those in the days when we were younger, we were in campus ministry. We saw them exploding and sparking with so much fire. I can't judge because I don't know what happened in the process, but we found out that some of them today are nowhere to be found in the things of destiny and in the things of God. I've shared with you the story of one of my beloved friends that we grew up together. And I always looked at him with awe and sometimes envy. Because way before I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, I was already baptized in the Holy Ghost. And we'll be meeting and they'll be praying in the Holy Ghost and they'll look at me like, Lord, what did I do wrong? Did I offend you? How can this guy that I know God more than him, how can he get baptized in the Holy Ghost before I did? What did I do wrong? It's a matter of time. I also got baptized in the Holy Ghost. And we continue on this journey of destiny. He got into Lagos State University. Lasso.
and it began to derail. Began to derail. The guy that was once on fire for God began to launch into clubs. He began to hold groups, and then, in fact, he created one group that he added me to one time, and the name of the group was Crazy Enterprises. Yeah. The gathering for them that whenever they come together, they just do crazy things. Crazy Enterprises. Few years down the line, because after a while we started growing further and further, and then once after a while, few down the line, I came around, and one day he came and he met me. My mom's shop. I just came back from the office. He was just coming back from work, and he came back and he was still asking me that he needs some quick money. After a while, we heard nothing about it again. He just kept wasting away and wasting away and wasting away. The things of this world caught his attention, and the dream far from God. And now we can't even reckon with him. There's a guy that in those days, oh man, can't you see this guy? He was leading the teenagers' church. He was leading this, he was leading that. So what happened to him? That the things of the world attracted him, and patience to wait for the process until the day when God was going to bring those things to him easily. He could not wait for those days. I am praying for you that the enemy will not snatch you on this journey of destiny. I am praying for you that the things that take men out of the line that God has earmarked for them, I'm praying to not take you away. I'm praying that the things that make men lose focus on their path of destiny, it will not happen to you in the name of Jesus. I'm praying that the solidity that will make you stay until God is done with you is released to you today in the name of Jesus. And if there be anyone here under the sound of my voice who has derailed and has gone far, I declare that you are brought back on track in the name of Jesus. Like the way that the angel, this is a very strong subject. An angel showed up before Balaam on his road and said, Balaam, you are already going out of the land of God. God doesn't want to go in this direction. Yet, because of the greed in his heart, he was pursuing money at the expense of what God said. The angel showed up to kill him. It was a donkey that saved him. A donkey. Whatever needs to show up for you on your journey of destiny, that will not make me lost. May the Lord send them your way in the name of Jesus. If it takes a donkey, may the Lord send it to you. If it takes a 5-year-old, may the Lord send them to you. If it takes a baby, may the Lord send them to you. You will not be lost. And in the name of Jesus, on the day that it matters, on the day of your showing, when you need to show, may you not be found lost. May you not be found wanting. You will be there, and you will show, and your light will shine. Thank you, Father. Give you praise and glory. Let's serve in the name of the Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.